Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We are your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Jake. How you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. Today, we are sitting back down with one of the co-founders of the 100-Year Real Estate Investor, Rick Sapio. Rick learned early on that business growth and success are accelerated when a few key principles are applied. One of these principles is the long-term mindset. And today, we're going to dive into what we like to call long-termism and what that means to Rick. So without further ado, Mr. Sapio, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. And when you say co-founder, we're all co-founders because we all founded the company together along with our fourth partner. So it's been a great ride the last year, you know, bringing long-termism into the Jake and Gino family.
Hey, Rick, it's kind of like Ron Burgundy. I just read what they put on the teleprompter sometimes. You know how it goes, man. So Rick, long-term thinking, how has this impacted your business? Because many companies you founded and have great success in your career. So how has that impacted your business success and growth?
Here's the thing. I'm going to use an example of marriage. When I married my wife, a friend of mine gave me good advice, and he said, write a script that describes your marriage 50 years from now. And so my wife and I wrote this paragraph, and it said, when we're, 90 years old, I'm envisioning us with our great grandchildren running around us, snowing outside. We're in a ski chalet in the mountains in Colorado. And that's just one example of the vision that we painted. And what happens when you have a long-term vision, when something happens in the short term, like you have a fight, you're not running for the exits. And a lot of times without that long-term vision in business or in your marriage or whatever you're doing, people just quit because they don't have that pull. So long-termism is a massive value, and it's actually a thing. And I call people that are this way long-termists. So here's the bottom line. If you have a crystal clear picture of your life at 100 years old, and your family and your generational wealth, et cetera, it's going to inform what you do today. If you want to live to be 100, you're not going to drink a bottle of tequila tonight, most likely. You're going to be informed on what to do today. The same is true for long-term marriage. The same is true for long-term business. The same is true for any long-term vision that you have. And I don't think people take this seriously enough. So what happens today is the opposite. We have a society that's addicted to yes. And I've mentioned this before with you guys. I've read, I think the number's higher now. Kids under 30, 6 billion pills a month we take as an American society, 6 billion pills a month. And I think part of that is driven by this culture that's addicted to yes. When you have a long-term mindset, you're addicted to no, because you know where you're headed. So you don't have to try everything. You don't have to try to fill your life with gadgets and your time with all this stuff. So that's my synopsis. I could talk for hours on this topic, but...
Well, you said you think people are not going in this direction. I think it's very clear that what you're proposing is going against the grain of what's being indoctrinated into society today. Isn't that fair to say?
Yep. We're short-termists. I think American culture is globally, look what's happening with COVID. It's like it's all short-term everything, short-term laws, short-term rules, short-term solutions. But if everybody's thought, you know what, I'm going to live to be 100 years old. So when COVID happens, what are you thinking? How do I stay healthy? What should I be eating? Should I be getting sunshine? Should I be taking vitamin C every day? You get what I mean? It's just a different mindset. But when you're short-term minded, what are you doing? You're wearing four masks, you're closing the drapes, you got the TV going, you're dying of fear. And so I think short-term mindset happens in the absence of a crystal clear long-term vision.
It took us 2 years to get comfortable with it. Now it's going to an endemic and everyone has got it. So it's, it's what it is, but everyone was running and now it's in this phase of acceptance. I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, think about it. Let's just go a little bit deeper on that, because long-termism is such an important value. if everybody in America, and I know this would never happen, but if everybody had a long-term view of their life and a long-term view of their family and their business, would they have been that panicked about COVID? Think about it. I mean, we knew early on that the rate of death was relatively low. Everybody knew that. But they were allowing this short-termism to take hold. And so that was the latest blog and the latest thing.
Yes. Yes, the latest fear tactic being pumped out by the media. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Continue on with that, Rick, because before I jump in here, I think that's important because you're talking about 2 years ago, Jake and I had our quarterly meeting in March of 2020. COVID hits. Our coach is freaking out, and Jake and I are looking at each other. We're going.
We had a systems coach. Yeah, we were doing systems.
We'll be okay. Right? This hasn't even started. We don't even know what to expect, but we've got cash in a bank. We've got reserves. We've got a plan. We've got long-term goals. This is going to be a blip in the screen. So, you know, occupancy may drop a little bit. We may have problems collecting rents for the next few months, but we'll be okay. Things will get back.
Yeah, and we don't run our businesses day to day from a cash perspective. We're cash strong. So it's not like we're prepared for this. Right. Yes. And this guy came in freaking out like the sky was falling, mm-hmm. presenting to our executive team. And I told him beforehand, I said, dude, do not do this. I said, mm-hmm. look, I want to be very clear in the front end. We want confidence, and we want to restore peace and sanity to our folks here today. And we want to focus on our goals and priorities. Our quarterly planning meeting, I always, and every time we fill out these surveys, what do I want to come out of with? I want clear goals, and I want alignment amongst our folks every single time. This one was no different. And the dude pushed his agenda in there, and we fired him for it. So,
yeah. Well, you guys are demonstrating something that's very obvious to me and has been for a long time. There's not, in my view, a delineation between the haves and the have-nots and the rich and the poor and all that. The delineation that I see in the world is the long-term thinkers, which you guys clearly are, and the short-term thinkers. And the short-term thinkers never get out of their own way. They're, even in your business, in the real
they
estate
ride
business.
Sensationalism, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think if we can help the listeners right now incorporate long-termism as one of their most important values, I think it changes the game on everything. It changes how you look at your health, how you look at your marriage, how you look at your kids, how you look at your business, how you look at everything.
Mm-hmm. Rick, when did you pivot from short-term to long-termism, and how did your life change?
So I always had a long-term mindset. I think that to a large extent, our values are imprinted in our DNA. It's weird. Mm-hmm. I may have mentioned this in the past, but there's an old Vedic saying that, you know, when a child is born, their purpose and values are imprinted on a star in the galaxy. And that may or may not be true. But I think we have inherent values. Some of us are more long-term minded. Some of us are more, outgoing, or, you know, we're that type of people that are persistent, et cetera. So some of those traits are inborn. But long-termism, whether it's part of your characteristic or not, part of your values or not, it needs to be. For me, it was when I worked on Wall Street in the late 80s. I actually, before he was famous, no one knew who he was. I had Warren Buffett as a client. And I remember being in his office in Omaha, Nebraska, and he said, I've been in this same office for 40 years. At the time, maybe it was 35, I can't remember. But it struck me as, he said, I know that this will be my office forever because I don't want to have to make those stupid decisions. I make my decisions long term. And the reality for me was, if you know, let's just take marriage as an example. If you know you're going to be married for life, okay, you know that. You're going to walk in to a relationship and say, can I be married to this person for life? So it changes how you make decisions on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Short-termers go, I'll give this man a try. I'll give this woman a try. Yeah, if we get divorced, we get divorced.
Swipe right, swipe left. Yes.
Yeah. Not realizing the chaos that it causes on, yes, both their families. So I started in my mid-20s. I met Warren when I was, I think, 24 or 25. And that relationship changed everything for me. And so this is kind of funny. I never thought I'd say this. Now I say it all the time. But as a kid, I didn't think that. I walked into, when I started my company at 29, I said, where do I want to be for life? And so I signed the lease in the building that I'm in right now, 28 and a half years ago, in the same office, in the same desk, in the same building. So I took all that chaos out of changing offices and changing locations and moving. I thought, where should I be? What's the best city to live in? What's the best building to have? What suits my lifestyle? What can I grow into? And it incorporates itself long-termism into all decisions. And imagine if every decision that we all made was a long-term decision. And it's why, quite frankly, I got involved in having 11 long-term oriented permanent life insurance policies. That is the same thing. It's one of those things that took me years to figure out what it was. And once I said, that's a long-term decision for me, I know I'm going to have this thing when I'm 100 years old. And so, you know, I'm throwing that in because that's what we're partners on. But it also, it tells me how and why I'm making that decision to get involved in that business. Because when you make a long-term decision, right, it takes a little bit longer on the front end, but it's permanent. I didn't marry my wife after one date. It took 2 years. And the more that we got to know each other, the more I realized, wow, she doesn't believe in divorce, nor do I. She has the same values. We're aligned. She wants the same number of kids. God willing, it all works out. And, you know, we went into it with a long-term mindset.
Okay, so we're talking about the benefits of the long-term mindset, but in practical application, what habits and rituals do you do that reinforce your long-term values?
So, Jake, I love that question, and very few people ask me that question. But I've got this term that I throw around a lot. It's part of our family, actually. It's called a liberating structure. And a liberating structure is something very simple to put in place that you make permanent, and it's easy to follow once it's in place. I'll give you an example of that. My wife and I have never missed a Monday night, 7:30 p.m. date night, every Monday night. So why is that a liberating structure? Because I don't have to go, hey, honey, you have a babysitter. What night do you want to go? I can't do it that night because we're busy. The babysitter knows, the kids know, our neighbors know, everybody knows that Monday night, mom and dad go on 7:30 date night. That's a liberating structure. Another liberating structure for us is on Tuesday night, I'll sit down with the family for dinner, and then I'll take one of the kids out, daddy-daughter, daddy-son date night. I've got four kids, three boys and a girl.
What do you call the son date nights? Because I never was comfortable personally with daddy-son dates. So I call it like a father-son outing, because maybe I'm weird. I just wasn't going, I don't want to like, it just wasn't working for me.
In our family, we just call it daddy date night.
Okay. Sorry.
But so a liberating structure, my schedule is just normal. When I work out in the morning, fact that, and here's a real cool idea for us.
It frees your mind, right, Rick?
Yeah. I mean, when you guys have, and we're all busy entrepreneurs, everybody's crazy busy. My wife and I have a rule, and I've done this for 30 years. I work Wednesday night till midnight, every single Wednesday night. Why? Because if I have to do a client dinner, or I have to leave town for a night, or I'm really busy, the kids know, my wife knows that daddy has dinner with us 6 days a week. But on Wednesday nights, we don't see him. And it just simplifies everything. It eliminates all the back and forth. The other thing we do is 11:30 every workday, I call my wife at 11:30. And again, liberating structure. So there's a lot of rituals like that. And now let's flip it to the business thing. I think every company should have permanent structures. You should have an hour-long weekly meeting with the executive team. You should have daily huddles for 10 or 15 minutes. What do I have to get done today? Simple structures like that. I talk to my accountants, my CFO, the same time every week. And so it eliminates a lot of back and forth and texting and messaging, because I know that I've got to talk to this person the same time every week. Our calls are scheduled. So if I need to talk to you about something, I don't call you or text you. I just put it on my list. Make sure you bring it up during that time. And so I keep an Excel spreadsheet with everybody's name on it on the bottom tab and what I need to talk to them on our scheduled time. So there's a lot of liberating structure that cuts out all the unnecessary communication that gets lost. It drives me bonkers that a lot of young people run their business on text. How can you run a business on text? A business should be a series of habits and rituals that are permanent. You know, God didn't say, hey, come to church when you want. He said, come to church every Sunday. It's a permanent liberating structure that we all know. And that's another thing for us. We don't do anything on Sundays, nothing, zero. We go to church, we do nothing. If we get invited to an event on a Sunday, we pass. So that's an answer, long answer to a short question, but hopefully it'll get people thinking, wow, that would make my life easier to have some of these liberating structures in place.
They're the bedrock, they're the foundations of a simplified life. I love it. It's fantastic. So just to kind of dovetail off what you're talking about younger folks, we've had a lot of younger folks enter the organization, and something that we've seen with them is something that Gino's coined, the get there itis. And I'd love to know, you know, or hear from your experience of working with people that have this short-term mindset or this get rich quick, you know, thinking that causes this get there itis. Like they want to get rich. They want to go out and make the money, but they sacrifice and they cut corners. Do you have any experience with this over your years in business?
A tremendous amount of experience. And I would say that the number one thing, we touched on it a little bit earlier, is that you have to, I believe, embrace, can I at least be open to long-termism? And if I am open to long-termism as a value, as a personal value, and you know, I wrote the book on this, it's called Who's in Your Room. It actually became a number one bestseller at one point. It's about values-based decision-making. So just to give you a long answer here, but if one of your values is long-termism, as an example, and you're crystal clear about all your values, you make decisions from your list of values. And if all your decisions are made from your values, it's called values-based decision-making, you avoid a whole lot of problems. So you take a young person, you sit them down, you say, look, I understand you've got short-term itis, but what are you making your decisions from? What list? Like, what do you mean? Well, what are your values? And you get them thinking about their values and writing them down. Now the short-term itis leaves because they're making decisions off of a set list. And so on the break, you and I were talking about this, Jake. We've got a family placemat that's on our dinner table and it talks about our values. And when my kids have short-term itis, I'll say, look at the list. How does this fit our values? And like, oh, Dad, I hate when you talk about values-based decision-making. But we're living, you know, and breathing what we're talking about here. So company that you're associated with has a list of values. People have a list of values. And if they're making decisions from that, that combats instantly short-term itis, in my opinion.
And it'll combat you, for the multifamily investors out there, from putting yourself into a bad deal because maybe it's a hot market and you're having a hard time finding deals right now. You don't force a deal. You don't pencil whip a deal just to get a deal done. And that's what the get there itis will, it'll get you. It'll get you a shit deal and a shit market because you forced it and you weren't waiting and you weren't patient for the right deal to come your way.
Yeah, every single issue, I wouldn't say, but the vast majority of my issues in business have come when I chose opportunity, get there itis, over values.
Yep.
It's that, and it manifests itself this way. You know, I'm going to do business with this new partner I have. Yeah, I know he's all about the money and, you know, he cheats on his wife, but he's not going to cheat on me. And then you do it because of the money. So you're choosing an opportunity over values. And it has bitten me every time I have violated that rule.
You know, I'd love to hear from you a little bit, because I know you went through an evolution when you started to adopt the long-term mindset. And I'd love to hear your story and really how the 100-year real estate investor and the long-term thinking really became central focus to what we like to call our RAND power wheel.
I've got two great parents and it all started from there. And I had adopted the mindset of saving. I'm a really good saver. And I think savers have that long-term mindset. You're putting money aside for an event in the future. Now, what I've done is that's the middle-class mindset. Instead of saving for an event, we just save to buy an asset. So it's been ingrained in me to save and to save. I started a business when I was 24 years old, and that was the mindset that I adopted. But Jake, the evolution really started with core values. When we started coaching and really focusing on the core values for Jake and Gino, I didn't have that for my other businesses. That's why I wasn't able to scale a restaurant. I had one restaurant for 20 years. How does Jake and Gino have 1,500 apartment units in 5 years? Very simple. Getting clear, like Rick said, on those values-based decision-making. And it also came down also to my investments. I started putting money into whole life policies because I saw the long-term mindset. Like Rick, I've got a big family. I want to be married for the rest of my life. When I pass away, I want my wife to be taken care of. Should my money be in stocks and bonds? Not for me. I want that money in the real estate. And I want that money in these whole life policies that are growing guaranteed. They're growing steady. They pay dividends every year. And the longer you have them, they really start churning out. And, you know, the first policy that I took out, I was 30 years old. I took another one out when I was 36, made a big mistake. I surrendered that policy, didn't have the 100 year telling me, hey, Gino, you can borrow from that and pay that back and use the dual asset strategy. That was 4 and 15 years ago. They weren't specially designed like they are now. I didn't have Teresa on the team saying, you've got a great opportunity here. I wish I had that policy today. Would be amazing. But you know what? Didn't stop. Made another mistake. A couple of years ago, went out and bought an index universal life policy because they look great. 6% in perpetuity. Yeah, wait until that baby blows up. That's not for the 100-year real estate investor. I made that mistake. So what did I do? Continued to get educated. I said, I want something for the long term. I want something that's going to help my real estate portfolio, permanent whole life insurance from a mutual life insurance company that's specially designed from the 100-year real estate investor is why I'm so passionate about this, because it really does allow me to think for the long term. But at the same time, if I've got an opportunity in the short term, I can tap into that. Try doing that with a 401k. I had to blow mine up. I had to take penalties for my 401k because I had the deal of a lifetime with Jake back in 2016. Never forget that deal. I'm sitting in the parking lot in Deerfield Beach. I'm going, how much money do you need? It's in a 401k. Well, had to blow that baby up. Best decision I ever made. But if I had a whole life policy, I would have borrowed the money out, used the cash value, paid the loan back. I'd still have the whole life policy. Instead, what do I have? I have zero money for my 401k. It's all gone. Had to pay penalties. So for me, it's been an evolution. It takes time, but I'm here to tell you that you need to create that core values. And Rick, I don't know if Rick mentioned it, but everyone's need to think about their own catalyzing statement. That's what Rick's coined. That catalyzing statement is so important for what you're trying to accomplish in your life. You should have one for your business, for your life. You should create the core values, and those core values will guide you. So when you do see an opportunity, you're able to say, that's what I'm looking for. And you know, everybody out there, when you make that decision and you feel like something's off in your body and you're not in congruency, as I like to say, you're not really following your values. So that's what it comes down to. You need to lay those values out. And when you do make that decision and it doesn't feel right, you immediately, you know, just get rid of that decision and make sure that you can get out of that, because going over the long term is really important. Jake, let me give you one more example. I wanted to become an amazing speaker, right? I wanted to get on stage every weekend. I just wanted to, you know, create this amazing Jake and Gino brand. Now, if I do that and I hit that goal, guess what? I'm a family person. I want to be home every weekend with my kids. I want to spend time with them. So if I hit that goal, and that's my goal of becoming an amazing speaker, going out to 40 or 50 events every weekend, I may hit that, but I'm not going to feel like I'm living in alignment with my core values of what I'm trying to achieve. So everyone out there, when you're setting goals, always look at what your values are. Are they in alignment with what you're trying to achieve? And if they are, go after those goals. And if they're not, make sure you realign your goals to align with your values.
It's very well said, Gino. And you've heard it a million times that your network is your net worth. And I'm mm-hmm. proud and grateful for these two gentlemen for being mentors to me and helping me along my journey. And if you share the long-term mindset and the same values as us, you know, feel free, go to dualassetstrategy.com. You're more than welcome to schedule a call with one of our team members and explore the 100-year real estate investor and, you know, how we apply long-term mindset to whole life insurance. It's all about values and aligning yourself with the people that share those values. So gentlemen, I appreciate both of you so much. Very grateful to have you and this team, and we will see you next time. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Rick.
Take care. You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.